many of you feel blessed this morning? Certainly, we have a lot to be thankful for. Certainly, we are a blessed people, richly blessed. Thank you, Brian, for reminding us of that. You know, it's easy to go along in life and focus on negative things, things that are difficult, trials we face, but we are really a blessed people. Wish to greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It has been a blessing to be here again this morning as we have looked into God's Word. This morning I'd like to think about a subject that I have been thinking about for some time. Thought about sharing it here some time ago, and things weren't just coming together real much for it, but spent some time studying and like to share this, what's been on my mind. Title for the message is The Disciplined Mind. This morning, Brother Gerald talked to us a little bit about a number of things, and one of the things that he mentioned was the tendency for our mind to wander, and we need to continually bring it back. That is what you call discipline, disciplining our mind. The undisciplined mind, I would say, is an epidemic of our time. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And I share this message, first of all, give it to myself. I was just really challenged, and the Lord spoke to me as I studied this and thought about this thing of where is my mind? Is it a disciplined mind? You can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 16. I will not read those quite yet. But first of all, I would like to try to introduce to you what I guess is going through my mind in this. When I look at the world around us, I see a move towards not being very disciplined in a lot of things, a whole lot of things. Now, that probably has always been true, but I also believe that it is the way we as humans operate. There is a law of thermodynamics, I believe is what you would call it, that says that we move towards chaos in the world around us. For some reason, that is what we move towards. That is life in a fallen world. So I think it would stand to reason that we also move. Our natural bent is towards less discipline in our hearts and lives. And that's where I find myself. That is where I need to grow. I also think that it is made worse because of the day that we live in. Among a number of things, I think of the technology that we have at our fingertips and the challenges that that brings with it. And I'm not promoting or saying that technology is bad. We interact with technology every day. It is a tool, but it can be otherwise as well. It can also be a toy. I also believe that most of the content on the internet is geared towards entertainment. Now, we can access entertainment for learning purposes, but most of the time, because of our human bent, we want to be entertained. It's something we like. We like to, I don't know, that aspect of it, being entertained. We like to learn through entertainment. Sometimes we say it's, the feeling is that we can learn better if it has some entertainment mixed in with it. Well, you think about that, but the content is very entertainment worthy. That's what they push for in thinking of technology and all of that. The pull towards being undisciplined. I want to consume. I want to be fed. You know, it's something I hear people say at times when they come to church. It's one of the complaints you hear, that I just don't feel fed. Why is that? I'm not real sure. I'm not sure why all that is. But the question I have is, do we find it that way because we're not entertained enough in modern Christendom? Other, you know, churches out there, you see more and more of entertainment being mixed in with a worship service. I've been to worship services, not just real recently, but fairly recent, where, yeah, there's just so much entertainment mixed in with it. It's very entertainment. I come away from one particular time that I'm thinking about feeling like that's about all it was. Yeah, they did. There was a sharing of the word, but there was so much entertainment with it that it just watered down the word. It made light of it in a way. Well, something for us to think about. So is that why we find sometimes that we feel like we're not being fed? Is it not entertaining enough? Again, I'm not sure why all that is, but could it possibly be? Could it? Let's think about it. Could it possibly be that it is because we are not digging enough into God's Word? Is the problem with the person at the front of the auditorium? Is he not dynamic enough? Or is it maybe that we personally are not engaged enough in Scripture? That's a challenge. That's a challenge for all of us. I also find that with social media, with the consumption of technology, we can find people that agree with us. It's something that we can quite easily do in social media today. We find people that agree with us. That ability is there to find content that we agree with. As I pondered that, you know, I believe we rarely engage, at least not very deeply, with people that think differently than we do. And I believe that is a real contributing factor to being undisciplined in our lives, to being undisciplined in our minds, in the way we think. In Luke 12, you don't need to turn to that. Actually, it's Luke 21. I have two verses jotted down here. Luke 21, verses 34 to 35. Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Another thing I see with the whole idea of being entertained more than digging into the Word of God and also learning from other viewpoints, other ideas. I know we have to be careful. I'm not talking about purposely taking in something that is untruthful, but being willing to hear other people or other points of view is so important for a well-rounded life of discipline. We need that. We need the input of one another. We need the input of our brethren and sisters, and that all lends itself to a well-rounded life of discipline. I also see more of a push towards worship being more experiential. It's about the experience. It's about the emotional high that we get. I do believe that it will be deeply experiential, but it does not have to be an entertaining, jump up and down type of service. But there is a push towards that, and that is a part of the entertainment. We want someone to do it for us that can do it better than us, and then we go along for the ride. Why do we? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But when we think of getting speakers in for revival meetings or Bible conference, I tend to think, maybe I'm just exposing myself here, but I tend to think of some that are very dynamic and can hold our attention well, and they're just really interesting and just know how to make it alive. Well, I'm not saying that's all bad. I'm not saying that is bad, but I had to think about that in my life as I think of those things. Why is that? Is it because of our bent towards entertainment? I'm not sure. I had to think about that. I've seen how things like music and also preaching in the greater Christian circles around us can focus on trying to stir up our emotions and only that. I believe that our emotions should be stirred, but that it should be something that is a lot deeper than just a repetitive push towards being stirred and having an emotional high. Scripture says that in the last times, let's just turn to that. I know hold your place there in 1 Peter, but let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, three verses, I believe, there I'd like to read. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and 4 says this: Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. These things come because we don't bring our minds under the influence of God's word like we should. I believe that is why these things come. So now I invite you back to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 3 through 16, but primarily focusing on verses 13 and 16. I would like to note verse 13 says, Wherefore, and so because of what is preceding it, there is a call to gird up our minds. And he's speaking about Christ coming and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Let's begin reading verse 3, 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Now verse 13, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So what is the desired end of girding up our minds? Is it not to be holy? I believe it is. A people called out and called apart, called to a purpose. In Ephesians 4, we have a similar passage. Let's turn there. Ephesians 4, a number of verses there. Ephesians 4, verse 22, says that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That would be similar to the thought of girding up the loins of your mind that we found in the previous passage. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, how or what or with what do we gird up the loins of our minds? It says here, we are called to righteousness, which I believe is similar to holiness. I would say they are very intertwined. In Ephesians 6, we also have the picture there of the armor of God. And there he says to gird up your loins about with truth. We have the girdle of truth. Now, I know these are two different figures of speech, and it's somewhat easy to mask them together. But I believe girding up our minds with truth from God's Word is a must if we are going to be able to have a disciplined mind. It's going to be a must if we're going to be able to, in our mind, discern between right and wrong. So how do we do that? How do we gird up the loins of our mind? How do we bring discipline to an undisciplined life? Well, I believe it starts with the mind. I believe that's why we have so much where it talks about girding up the loins of our mind, and it refers to that a number of times in Scripture. I believe that is where it starts. It starts with our mind. We can hardly have discipline in other areas of our life if we are freewheeling, as it were, in our mind. With what we take into our minds, I would like to add. With what we listen to. With what we look at through the eye gate. With what we read, we are not going to be able to do very well in being disciplined in other areas of life if that, first of all, does not become disciplined, if you follow what I'm saying there. Now I want to go on and look at it from a little bit of a different angle, approach it from a little different angle here. When Jesus walked the earth, he spoke of a comforter coming, a promise that was going to come after him, and that was going to do some very significant things in our hearts and lives of the believers. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 16, because I think this is significant in what we're talking about here. John chapter 16. Thinking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the connection of that to having a disciplined mind. Today we are We are inundated with what people think the work of the Holy Spirit looks like in the life of the believer. John 16, starting with verse 2. Jesus' words here paint a very different picture than the faith healing and the speaking in tongues. Now these things did happen in the New Testament. I'm not trying to discredit that all. Those miraculous works did happen in the early church. I believe that when God shows up and does those, when those miraculous things take place, they will be for His honor and for glory. That is what it is for. We don't take credit for it. When something comes up and we spend a lot of time in special prayer for that need and God answers that prayer, do we take credit for it? No, we don't. God receives all the honor and glory for it. God gets the credit. In John 16, Jesus lays out very clearly what the Holy Spirit's main work is. I just like to read that. Actually, I said verse 2. I meant to say verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That's the first one. And of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The work of the Holy Spirit. That sounds very different than what we are told sometimes. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and here's some more. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I'll stop reading there in that passage. But then on, and I guess it's back a couple of chapters, in chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. To me, that is a beautiful picture. The Holy Spirit in the heart and life of the believer. One of the main works of the Holy Spirit is to teach us and guide us in truth. But we have to stop and listen. We have to have our minds disciplined. We have to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that it is a still, small voice. And I believe that there is a possibility. We probably all have somewhat experienced that or found that to be true in our lives. There is the possibility that we are drowning out that voice at times with whatever, the things of this world. I believe one of the keys to a disciplined life is exercising the discipline to listen to the Holy Spirit's guiding and teaching us as we read God's Word, as we come together in this way and study God's Word, as we interact with our brethren, as we walk this life. I believe that is a key in or to a disciplined life. We are called to be holy as God is holy. He expects that from us. And with the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, that is possible. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. There is no way. I believe that we need to understand that we are called to a, well, it's a spiritual warfare. That is what we are called to. Not a physical battle here on this earth. As soldiers in a spiritual warfare, we need to prepare. We need to have our hearts and minds prepared for that warfare. We cannot just go into it ho-hum and think that we are going to get somewhere. It does not work that way. But the Holy Spirit is there to teach us and guide us, to help us. But we must do the work. The Holy Spirit will not pick you up and carry you along. It says He will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will not zap your mind and there, you have the understanding now. That's not the way it works. You need to be teachable. You need to invest in study and learning. You know, we have some teachers here this morning. The teacher teaches. You teachers don't do the lessons for your students. The teacher does not do the homework or the course work. The student does it. Today, we are the students. Are we willing to put in time and effort? That is, I believe, what is being spoken of in 1 Peter, the verses that we read there, where it says to gird up the loins of your mind. You are preparing for battle. You know, that I thought about that word picture. I believe that word picture was very easy for them to understand at that time. They wore robes. And so when they needed to do something that they needed uninhibited movement, they would tie up the skirts with a belt so that they could move freely. I tried to think of how it would be in our day and age, but in our day and age, you know, we would probably say, roll up your sleeves, get to work, be prepared to get dirty. I believe this morning that we are at a danger of losing our ability to be a disciplined people. It's a challenge we face, and I believe it is so important for us to be intentional in this. I believe it is important for us to intentionally submit either to a plan that I have put in place, or one that I adopt intentionally. When I look at my own life, it is really easy to allow these things, life, to just kind of happen to us. And, you know, we react to this and we react to that, and we bounce from, I don't know, it seems like sometimes we bounce from one pain point to another pain point. And sometimes those things will happen, and we certainly cannot anticipate all of those times. But I do believe that God has called us to be a people of discipline and of character. We need to intentionally look at our lives and be that. I believe if we are not intentional about it, we will become entertainment driven, as we mentioned there more at the beginning. We will take in what makes us feel good, what is easy to listen to, what is easy to watch. Those things will attract us. If we are not purposefully, intentionally focusing, looking into God's Word, if we're not being intentional about it, we gird up the loins of our minds by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12, we find that thought. We have these, I call them wonderful words. You don't need to turn to that. Most of us could probably recite those verses by heart. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There needs to be a pouring in of new information if we are going to get something new or different out. He goes on to say how those renewed in their minds will act and do. Romans 8, 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I believe we have what I would call a twofold problem. And this is not new. I'm not stating a new doctrine or a new idea here, but simply stirring up our minds with things that we have worked with all our lives. Because of our human nature, we want to put spiritual things on automatic at times. I believe that is our tendency, to want to set it and forget it. And it helps us to develop good habits, but sometimes it gets a little shallow if that is where we find ourselves. I'm not saying it's bad to have habits in that. I believe it is good. But we need to be careful that it's deep. We reach deep into God's Word. You know, we have our own little personal Bible reading in the morning, and that's that. We check that box, we move on, we go to work, whatever. We might listen to something inspirational during the day and feel good about our spiritual walk, and that's not bad. I'm not knocking those things, but we tend to be rather surface-oriented. The other part of this problem is that we don't budget our time. We don't live intentionally with our time, as I think we should, at least as I know I should at times. You know, we speak about budgeting money. We speak about budgeting many things, but how do we do in the thing of budgeting our time? Saying, I'm going to set aside this much time for this. That's been a challenge for me. It is when I'm willing to set or to budget my time. Because, you know, really we have been given a finite amount of time. Scripture says He knows our end from the beginning. We have that time set. You know, if we would think of our life more as a ticking clock that is counting down to a certain time, you know, we don't know what that certain time is, but God does. And I think if we would think more about that maybe we would be more intentional with what we do with those minutes, those hours, those days, those weeks, years, whatever it is that we have been given. I believe it's important in having a disciplined mind, in growing in Christ, in the renewing of our minds, that we allow time in our day to really, truly focus on knowing the truth of God's Word. That has really been a challenge to me lately, and I was reminded of that again, thought about that quite a bit during our Bible conference, where there was more of a concentrated on that, and I was challenged with that, of setting more time to just really focus on God's Word and finding the truth of it and applying it to my life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we have these familiar words. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We often talk about this verse of what we should of what we should communicate with people, with others. But he says here, think on these things. It's more than what we communicate with others. It begins with what we think. Think on these things. In closing, I'm just going to, I guess what I would say, term it as issuing a challenge. Present to us a challenge. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to you. But could you commit to spending 2 hours a week and an in-depth Bible study? Would we be willing to commit that? You know, if we want to include that with our morning devotions, Certainly you can. However, I'm not talking about just merely reading Scripture. That's good. But I'm talking about digging in and learning what it means. That is where it is an exercise of the mind and will. This also allows us to exercise the muscle of listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Him guide us, letting Him teach us as we open ourselves up to God's Word. A couple of things here. This does not include listening to Scripture or sermons while at work or play. Again, I'm not knocking those things. They're wonderful little tools. I believe they are. But that is really, I question if that is really engaging our minds. Another caution I would give is maybe we should avoid commentaries. Also not saying we can never read a commentary, but the exercise of looking at Scripture and saying, what does this mean? Dig into it. It's good for our minds. And you know what? It brings discipline. Learn how to study Scripture and come to an understanding. That's a challenge that I want to let with us. I remember well, after I was ordained, it was probably one of the most growing things that I ever had to do, and that was to study for sermons. That was a challenge, still is actually. It was probably one of the most growing things that I ever had to do. But I, you know what? I finally had to decide what I believed. It forced me to do that. I had to dig into God's Word personally. I had to dig into God's Word and see if it actually said what it did. You know, we tend to be a little lackadaisical, and it allows for an undisciplined living throughout our life. And that can so easily spread. And so we shortchange ourselves with trying to do two things at once sometimes. I think it's good for us to simply focus on the Word of God. And that's the challenge that I found in this study, in this thinking of the disciplined mind. And it's the challenge that I want to let each of us with. Study into God's Word. Discipline our minds. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. As we do that, we will be a blessed people. Let's kneel together in prayer.